This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan, the beginning of hour number two. You got me, Kevin Hagelin, Corey Majors, who is back.
In your face.
The famous Alec Medford and Tolo Jim, who has won KNC for the day. And he is hanging out with us. It is 11 o'clock. March Madness is beginning. It'll probably actually start in like 8 to 10 minutes. We got Tiff's treat sent up here. That's delightful. And I want to ask you guys, be honest with me. Are you actually going to get any work done today? Not you. You better get work done.
I guess the better question is, are you unemployed or are you just watching midday basketball? That's where you're at right now.
It's a good point.
Most unemployed people, what are they doing today?
People don't talk a lot about the benefits of unemployment.
What is that?
I would say
time on your hands.
Maybe one of those is today to watch college basketball without people hassling you. There's probably bigger issues.
There's a lot of stress that goes into
it.
You're like,
I get that.
How am I going to live?
Now, if you have all of the money, I'm not going to lie, Corey, it kind of sounds like Jim might have all of the money.
Yeah, it does.
Last night, Paul Skeens, one of one MLB rookie debut patch, had been bid up to $780,000. That's nice, because this morning it is at $900,000.
Really?
The auction closes at 9 o'clock tonight.
Okay.
The record for the highest paid amount ever for a Paul Skeens card was $123,000. Now we're up to $900,000. Feels like an easy bet that this card will go past a million, probably go past way past a million. Feels like that kid and his family made the right decision.
What the Pirates offered was awesome.
Like it was.
That was a sweet package of things. Plus, Livy Dunn said that you could hang out in her suite with her. Hey, just come on and hang out with us.
Yes.
We'll have a good time. The season tickets were great. I wonder if they did like a numerical, I don't know, a value on what all that would be, and they were like, it's not even close.
Or do you think it's just that they weren't like born and raised in Pittsburgh? That would be my issue with it.
Weren't they in San Diego?
Yeah.
I think that's where they were.
Yeah.
Over.
So. But like, if I was born and raised in Pittsburgh, or like if it happened here and they're like, you get 30-year season tickets to the Rangers, I feel like I would really have to be like, ooh, let's consider that. But if it's like, hey, you get season tickets to go see the Mets, what the hell do I care about that?
And yeah, I would. I mean, you also add in the, hey, get to meet the player. Like if Skeens, like if DeGrom, he's like, hey, for my card, you get to meet DeGrom. Not a lot of people get to talk to him.
That is very true.
So they'd take advantage of that.
Now, want to know how much work people are going to get done today with the start of the NCAA tournament? I think these are the best 2 days in all of sports, today and tomorrow. But also, I have prop bets for you. Would you like some NCAA tournament prop bets?
I would. From the 904, I'm retired and looking forward to March Madness. It's what I live for. So they're in on it today.
And then from the 469, I can't afford to miss work. Us either. That's why we're here. This is like, I have not worked this time in forever.
I'm surprised you don't haven't already ordered a pepperoni pizza for the whole day.
We're going to have to
wait.
Because
that is usually on your...
Yes. Meat lovers might be the way to go today.
There's something I don't know that happened on the show that you guys are holding back on me that happened this in the 3 days that I was gone.
Oh, yeah. At some point.
You keep saying find out.
You have to wait till one of the commercial breaks. You'll hear the key that will set off the loyalty pledge.
Okay.
That we will all put in place and that Alec hates so very much.
My head hurts.
I'm fascinated by this.
All right. First question. Jim, I'm going to start with you. Which mascot will advance the farthest, the Bulldogs or the Tigers? Now, I could give you the teams, but it's more funny if you just have to guess without knowing any of those teams.
I think the Tigers are going to go further than the Bulldogs.
That's nice. That's good. Because if it's Princeton, then obviously, yeah.
I don't think Princeton made this tournament.
Used to run that potion off?
Yes, and they won games 43-41.
Actually, I think Yale are the Bulldogs.
That is correct.
That are in for Princeton this year.
Now, believe it or not, here are the Bulldogs teams. There's a lot of them. Gonzaga, Drake, Kendrick Lamar, Georgia, Mississippi State, Yale, Gonzaga.
Gosh.
And, crap, I forgot the last one. It says Bryant. That's not right. I'll get back to you on that. One more. There's one other team.
Antonio Bryant?
No, not Antonio Bryant. And also not Kendrick Lamar. I don't know if you heard that after I said Drake. For the Tigers, Auburn, Clemson, Memphis, and Missouri.
Bulldog is the most common one, by the way.
That makes sense.
So Bulldog is the most common.
Can't believe it's not Wildcat.
In college. Oh. It might be Wildcats.
Yeah. I get it.
Wildcats, Tigers, Bulldogs, Huskies, Jayhawks.
Oh, Corey, this will give you...
Oh, this includes other things, too. Gotcha. All right.
This will give you insight into the loyalty pledge from the 817 Alec Hates America.
Again?
What?
After that other time?
Oh, what?
Yes, I accidentally said Gonzaga twice. That's why I missed the
other one. I got a great story to tell you in the break.
All right. Do you like the Bulldogs to go further or the Tigers?
I'll go with Jim. Bulldogs.
Jim, which mascot did you pick to go further?
I believe I picked the Tigers.
Mm. I too will go with the Bulldogs.
Well, Jim,
I'm sticking with myself on this one.
You just got part of the show experience right there. There's a scramble to get something that we might have been brought food. Did Corey maybe not listen to your total answer?
I did. I just forgot.
Okay.
I'm going to go Bulldogs, though.
Okay.
Because Gonzaga is going to let me down in the Final Four a bit.
Over-under, how many SEC teams will be in the Final Four? The over-under is 1.5. Do you think there will be more than 1.5 teams from the SEC in the Final Four?
Jim?
No, I think it'll only be one.
Ooh, there can only be one, he says.
Like the Highlander.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say over. I'm going to take the over, just like Jim.
Still not.
Did he not?
No, he didn't. Yeah. But I like the bit that you're doing right now. Alec, want to know if you'd go over under on this, and I have a bonus bet for you to consider. Well, first of all, would you go over or under on 1.5 SEC teams?
Oh, I think I'd go over.
Okay. Now I want you to consider this next step. 25-1 on your money if you think there will be an all SEC Final Four. Those are pretty good odds, man.
I'd throw $50 on
it.
Why not? Absolutely. It's my favorite part of March is finding the random stuff that I can waste money on. So, I think I would do that.
That is a great point. Now, for the purposes of this bet, an upset is defined as the 9 seed through the 16 seed.
Okay.
Even though I know on some of these, the lower seed might be favored.
But otherwise, it could be the higher seed that could be favored.
Really thought there was a sneeze coming. It didn't happen. How many upsets will there be in the first round? Jim has been leading the way on this. So upset is strictly defined as a lower seed winning. Don't worry about the point spread or anything like that. How many upsets will we get in the first round out of those 32 games?
I think 6.
I, too, will go with 6.
Alec?
Yeah, I think I'm there.
Seems high, though.
No, that seems low to me.
Really?
Yes.
7.
I'll go 7.5.
Okay. Well, either way, this bet is catered for you guys because the over-under is 10.5.
Oh, right.
And you guys are pretty under. So this might be a bet for you.
And that was not in just the first round, right?
No, in just
the first round. 10 upsets?
Yeah.
There's a lot of teams playing in this thing. I get it.
That's a good point, Corey. There is. Names. Who will be the highest seed to reach the Sweet 16? Not the team, the number. What will be the highest seed to reach the Sweet 16? And
Jim?
If you say 4, I might karate chop you.
I think a 3 seed will be the highest seed.
All right. Now, Jim,
I love Jim. He's in on the show. He knows how this works.
We're going to need to do some mathematical work right here, okay? So if there's 16 teams left.
Right.
And there's four brackets.
Oh.
That means there's at least four teams in everyone. Thus, by definition, it can't possibly be lower than four. Let's try this again. What will be the highest seed to reach the Sweet 16?
Eight.
There you go.
I thought you were talking about the Final Four, so.
Are you going to do this to me today too, Jim?
I will.
Are you going to pull a Corey?
Yes! He's part of the show. I like it.
Alec, be ready for our emergency broadcasting protocols. Corey!
11.
Okay.
Was that the right answer?
I mean, the right answer is whatever you feel in your heart.
Was it closer than Jim?
Yes, it was.
Yes.
The highest seed over-under to make the Sweet 16 is 12. All right? So they're predicting, hey, there are going to be big-time upsets.
Wow.
How many number one seeds will reach the Final Four? Now, Jim, your answer cannot be more than four here, okay?
Thank you for the direction.
I'm just kidding.
I got three, but okay. I auto-filled, so.
Okay. Man, which number one did Florida auto-fill out?
Auburn, Florida, Houston, so it left out Duke.
What the hell?
Yeah. Actually, I think I manufactured that and left Duke out on purpose.
Jim, how many number one seeds?
My bracket has one, Duke.
Oh. Over-under is 1.5, so you guys are right on the other side of that. Now, a little bit more math here, Alec. Now I'm going to go to you on this. Don't let me down. What will be the combined seeds for the Final Four teams? So if you just add it up, 1, 1, 3, 8, whatever. What will the combined seeding be for the Final Four teams?
For my bracket, it ends up being 6.
Ooh.
I have three ones and a 3.
From the 817, Jim and Corey are on board to piss off Kevin today, and I am happy.
I'm a fan of Jim's.
Me 3.
Corey?
Uh-huh.
What will
be assuming I listened?
Okay, Jim, what will be the combined seeds of the teams that make the Final Four?
My bracket is 8. A first, two seconds, and a third.
I love it.
Final Four.
You can't say that like you've never heard of the concept before. Final Four?
5.
Okay.
That's because I got three ones and a 2.
You guys are going to like this then. The over-under on this, 11.5.
Wow.
Now, I realize that means one big upset team could pretty much wipe it all out.
Oklahoma.
But maybe.
At 9. Yeah, I mean, like, that could be weird.
Okay, this is for the first round only. What will be the largest margin of victory in the first round?
Man, this is a tough one.
Is it?
Yeah, I mean, because I don't know what the traditional blowout is in the first round, but I'm going to say 27.
From the 469, this is how it's going to be today, huh, guys? Jim is here to do radio, not math, yeah, Kevin.
That's right.
And he's from the 903.
Math is real life.
I'm in on Jim. He needs to stay. All right. Well,
I'm in. I like
it. It's great. Jim is going to be the new Mike Bassick. I told you on the fly.
Uh-huh.
Fan phenom. All right. I forgot what the question was. The question was largest margin of victory in the first round.
I said 27, Kevin.
Okay. Jim?
30.
Ooh.
Alec?
33.
I feel like we all went over.
You all went under.
What?
The betting folks out there are expecting something crazy to happen. Over under, largest margin of victory in the first round, 38.5. Ooh, that's a lot. I feel like going lower on that's not such a bad idea.
Yeah, I would go lower.
Tough math.
One other prop for you guys to consider. Actually, I've got a couple. Do you think a player will record a triple-double at any point in the entire tournament? If your answer is yes, 5.5 to 1 on your money.
Ooh.
That feels like a shot worth taking, right?
I'll bet $1 on that one.
I think you should.
I'll bet 4.
Oh, man.
He might win 20 bucks.
Most points scored by a single player in the first round. You don't have to tell me the player. You don't have to tell me the team. None of that. Just the most points scored in the first round by anybody.
28.
Okay.
35.
That's a good answer.
I was going to go 26.
Jim's all over this one. The over-under is 35.5. So you are right on board with that.
The 817. The question is, though, is Jim single?
No.
I had to look over there. Man, that was a defiant no right there. I like it.
He knew he's on radio, and it's going out over 100,000 watts.
I like it. All right. Would you rather have all the SEC teams or every other team in the tournament?
This is a good one because there are a lot of SEC teams. There's 50,
yes,
right?
And there were 14. I know Texas lost.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you're looking at a huge chunk of teams right there.
I think you can hedge your bet on this one, honestly. I really do. I think you can kind of try to hedge here to get to go with both of them. But I'll take the field.
Okay.
I'll take the field.
Okay. Jim, would you go the rest of the field or only SEC teams?
I think the field. I think the SEC is overrated.
Ooh.
They're a football conference.
But sorry, everybody. Not single. So he's got hot sports opinions. Not single, though. Alec, last question for you. Would you take the rest of the field or the SEC?
I agree that the SEC is overrated, but I am also not smart, so I'm going to take the SEC.
Okay. By the way, if you think Drake will pick Drake to win the national championship, that's 25-1. That's not even saying Drake has to win. That's just saying Drake has to pick Drake 25-1.
Why wouldn't he?
Because he knows that they'll lose the Kendricks.
Drake.
If he picks it, though, they're destined to lose because isn't whoever he roots for loses?
That's a good point. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, time for some AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day, plus how to make $50 million really quick next on The Fan.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. For people that have been asking, we're rocking with Jim today, who won Beyond KNC for a day as part of our Peace-a-thon auctions this past November. A lot of positive feedback for Jim thus far.
Yeah, he's winning right now. This is great.
He really is. We'll see if he knows what to do when it's time for the loyalty pledge.
Boss is going to come in here after the show, offer him a contract.
Man, that would be very impressive.
Alec gets ticked off and pushes Jim down the stairs.
Oh, my gosh.
I wouldn't do that.
It went bad, so fast.
Slowly poison him over time. I got you. That's
right now.
In a Goldman Toyota.
I guess it's time for this.
What does this button do? Please, do not push the button. You have no idea of what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful. One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. It is time for AM on the FM. My name is Alec Medford, 877-881-1053. That is the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line. Wants you to answer the question of the day there, as well as the Twitch and YouTube. And then I'll tell you a quick way to make $50 million. It only takes minimal bodily harm.
So, quick question. Okay. I don't want to question the way you've stacked this segment.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get to the $50 million first? I want to make $50 million.
We can get to that first if you want.
I think it's smart on him to make people wait for $50 million.
Oh, I gotcha.
Now they got to listen to the whole
segment.
And
eventually he's going to be like, it's by going through Underdog promo code Masterpiece. Mm-hmm. I gotcha. Go ahead.
Be born into a rich family.
That also works. Yeah. I mean, I wish I could relate. That would be awesome. Oh, I'd probably be in Boston right now like Peyton, you know?
He's not rich, right?
I mean,
I think his family is.
Morning show money, you know?
Oh, yeah, that too.
That's a good point.
Yeah, prime day part right there. The question of the day today, again, 877-881-1053. We've had some fun. We've been all over the place this week so far with our questions, but I was doing some reading last night before bed and found a really interesting article from Live Science about a 17-year-old boy in the Netherlands got knee surgery, but when he woke up, he could only speak in a foreign language.
Oh my God, is this foreign language syndrome?
And he swore that he was in the United States when he woke up. So there was a bunch of random stuff going on. But for a while, they said at least 24 hours after an orthopedic surgery, he could only speak and understand Dutch.
What?
So that got me thinking. if you went to sleep, whether it's just bedtime, anesthesia, whatever it may be, and you woke up with a new ability, what would you want that to be? You get an overnight talent, an overnight ability, overnight ability to speak a language, whatever it might be. If you could just wake up tomorrow and have this new ability, what would you want that to be?
This might be a dumb answer. I think I would really like to be awesome at playing the piano. Like, I mean, like, yes. I'm going to go to a restaurant and start playing and everyone's going to stop what they're doing and then clap for me at the end, maybe put some money in the tip jar. I think that would be really cool. And I would just bounce around that day, like, playing pianos at places.
It's interesting. I'm glad you said this because mine also is music related. However, I didn't limit myself to piano. Ooh. I just want to be able to pick up every instrument.
Oh, that's a good answer.
I guess,
did he just wish for 1,000 wishes?
Yeah,
though?
I did wish for 1,000 wishes. That being said, though, if it was one specific instrument, I'd want to be just sit down and be like Neil Peart and just start drumming and just be like, give me the biggest drum set you have. I got it, guys. Yeah.
I would kind of like that, honestly.
That would be cool. And
to Kevin's point about the pianos, I love those TikToks where people just go into like malls or restaurants where they have an open piano and they just start playing like the Interstellar theme or something. And everybody's like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. But so, I've seen like 50 of those videos in the past 3 days.
We do have a piano at the house.
That does sound fancy.
I don't. So
the oldest one is good. Carter, my middle son Carter, is like a he's like a piano savant. He hears it and just starts playing neat. It. And he touches the piano every time he walks by it. And so it's always a bump, or he starts playing a song. And he does. He'll just go sit down at pianos and just start playing songs. I'm like, where did you hear this one? And he's like, it's the Chill Guys song. I'm like, I have never no clue where you learned this. And he's like, I just heard it and started playing it. That's always an impressive thing to me.
From the 817 Play the Kazoo, you are getting blocked.
What's wrong with the kazoo?
It's all coming into view.
All right, here we go. I'm excited.
From the 214, love the Alec load. I don't like how you worded that. Not a big fan of that.
From the 936, live out Mel Gibson's What Women Want life. Do you remember that movie? I liked that movie.
That is ultra specific.
Because if you
it.
Pick other parts,
you can hear what
the Mel Gibson life. You probably shouldn't have.
No, but it's the movie What Women Want, where he can hear their thoughts. And he like knows what they're thinking at all times.
Okay, Alec.
Do I want to know what my wife's always thinking?
I want to change my talent. Oh, never mind. My wife might be listening. I've always thought.
Where is this going?
I've always thought, Jim, and you might be disgusted with this. I wish I had like a little like a handheld remote control, and I could point it at any woman and it would tell me what percent of her would want to hook up with me.
Oh my God.
And so, like, not now, because I'm married, but in the before times.
Oh, I remember you wanted to create this app. I remember you talking about
this. In the before times, you're like, oh, 3%, bummer, gotta move on. And you're like, oh, 80%, I never knew that Martha felt that way. And then you make your move. I think that'd be super helpful.
That would be. I mean, for a guy like me.
Jim is disgusted by that part of the conversation.
No, I think that's a great idea for me as a 23-year-old bachelor.
Yes. You know,
this is important information.
Yes.
Am I wasting my time? My time is valuable. Not really. But, I mean, that would be helpful for, you know, the bar crawls and stuff.
And you can push the button multiple times to see if what you're talking about's working.
Ooh.
Like, she was an 82%, but then you started talking about Legos. Now she's a 64%. You're like, need to change gears.
I've told people I think one of my talents is I can talk myself into any situation, and I think I can talk myself out of any situation. So, being able to click the button multiple times, I think that would help. I think that would help. Jim, do you have something that you wish you could wake up in the morning tomorrow and just magically have that ability?
I'm going to bring it back to sports and reverse the Luka trade.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's a good answer. Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, I think that hits close to home for me, so I'm going to say that's the best answer so far because I was hanging out with some buddies last night at the bar watching these games, and we brought that up. Like, it still doesn't feel real because the Lakers game came on one of the TVs and we're like, that still feels foreign. That doesn't feel right. This is fantasy land and I wanted to cry. So
that's fair.
For me, I think it would be sports related too. as much as I really want to play the piano, that's always been something on my life bucket list. I think that if I could wake up and run the fastest 100 meter dash on the planet,
that would be pretty cool.
I would be very happy.
How fast? Like how much faster than Bolt's time would you want to get?
If I could run at 9 flat.
Oh my gosh.
If I could run at 9 flat.
Would you be disappointed like
if somebody ever surpasses that?
Well, that too. But yes. Like if it wasn't an Olympic year or they weren't to the world championships and so you just had to run it at some podunk meet that you're that was amazing, but who cares?
Just like one of those events that Tyreek Hill did where it was just like streamed on Twitch and there was maybe 50 people there.
People would probably still care though.
Oh yeah, as long as I get the headlines and I get a Nike deal out of it so I never have to pay for socks again, that would be amazing.
It would be. It would also be pretty dope to be able to like just know bets better than everybody. Like you could hit, you know, 90% of your bets.
Like you had that sports almanac from Back to the Future.
Yeah, exactly. Be able to just wake up and just be like, okay, I'm betting this. Now, that's the question though. Would it still be fun at that point? Because I know you're making money, but
I like money.
The other part of the risk, that's the part that's fun, right? Or is it just the getting the money?
Yeah, maybe. Because there's a Twilight Zone episode like that too, where this guy thinks he went to heaven because he keeps winning all his bets. But like at the casino, but then eventually he finds out he's in hell because that's the only thing that's ever going to happen and he's never going to get that thrill anymore. So I'm with you.
Is that different than the lady that was shopping for a gold thimble? Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm going to have to talk about this. Severance, Kevin. We're going to have to talk about this off air.
Oh, I've not seen the last episode or season finale tonight.
Side question. How many times do you think you've said the word thimble in life and it wasn't related to the game Monopoly?
Zero.
Seven.
Probably.
For what?
I have my grandma's thimble collection that she didn't leave it to me, but you know, when we were cleaning the house out.
So you took it?
My mom said, here, take this. You used to play with it as a kid. And I was like, awesome.
Huh. Okay. I'd say maybe like 4 or 5 times because my grandma sews as well. So, but not a word I say very often.
214. This is Martha from high school. And yes, Kevin, I confess, always wanted to hook up with you.
I'm already in trouble because my wife definitely was listening. So I have no thoughts about any of that.
Let's see. I like the text from the 214 that says Jim just made 3 million fans with one sentence.
Yes, he did. He knows how to win this one.
I tend to agree. From the 901, wake up and be able to fly. Yes, because why did it take me an hour to get to work today when I live 21 miles away?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
That makes no sense.
Stupid traffic.
Yeah.
But do you think picking up every single instrument is realistic?
Yes, he does. Yes, you do.
Well, actually, there are some people.
Yes, you do. I know you.
I believe there's some people out there that can just sit down and be like, bloop. That's the sounds it makes.
What instrument was that?
Bloop. Yeah. It's like a harp kind of thing or a.
Don't think so. Don't think the sounds more like a Windows.
I said harp kind of thing, you know?
That sounds more like a Windows boot up or something. Yeah, it does. Or like a dial-up thing. From the 469, would love to be able to sing. If I could sing, one, confidently, because I can't do that right now, but two, like on the level of somebody, some of the best out there, I would never shut the hell up. I would be so insufferable.
Wow.
I'd just be walking around the house singing all the time, fry my vocal cords in the process probably because, you know, nobody knows how to do it properly outside of the pros. All right, do you guys want to make $50 million?
Yes. Yeah, I do.
All you have to do is get burned by hot tea at your local Starbucks.
Oh, yeah.
I want to hear more of this, but I thought this was done. Like I thought that already happened and that like warnings had been put on every
cup. With the McDonald's coffee and stuff. Yeah.
Coffee giant Starbucks has been ordered to pay $50 million in damages to a delivery driver who was burned by hot tea that wasn't secured properly and spilled into his lap. This happened on March 13th. A Los Angeles jury gave plaintiff Michael Garcia the multi-million dollar award after he sued Starbucks for, quote, past and future damages.
Is he never going to be able to walk again or see or talk or that feels excessive?
Was it his lap?
It was in his lap. And there is video of it, by the way. There is like store footage of this happening from the drive-thru. If you go to today.com, they have the full video of it. You could see it happen. It's just a loose lid. You know, it happens. Spills right into the lap. Starbucks does say they plan on fighting this. They do not agree with the jury's ruling.
I'm not saying
they have more money.
it's totally that employee's fault, but you got to let that employee go, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, if an employee ends up to you losing $50 million, you got to be like, sorry.
Hey, today's just not your day.
Yeah, you're out.
We appreciate it, but... And then that person's like, well, at least I didn't kick in the window of a car trying to get that coffee back.
Mm. We got sued for that, too.
Well, they were borrowing the coffee, Corey. They were borrowing the coffee.
And I was going to bring it back.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is the Alec load, I guess, as the 214 called it.
Please don't ever say that again.
Please. Yeah, I don't like that either.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. Are the Cowboys about to make a really smart move at quarterback? Next on The Fan.
Second and goal. Read option. Milton. A Sunday walk in the park.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some Gridiron Gravy.
Dip.
Now, things over there, Kevin, with you and your wife. Everything after that last segment.
All right.
Sorry for your loss.
Yeah.
I'll give you an update. I think I might have sent the wrong emoji back too.
Sounds like Jess and Noah will be staying elsewhere, or Kevin sleeping on the couch.
I got the angry face emoji followed by what's that?
Mm-hmm.
You're in trouble. Follow. And this is bad either way, but this is really bad. Also, Dad is in the car with me.
Oh, see, here's the thing though. Had you just said, like replied back, it's a way to make money. It wasn't for me.
Yeah.
It's for all the other hooligans out there.
I'm hoping that if I said in the before times, that will cover me, but it might not. All right. A move I would love for the Cowboys to make at quarterback, and then a nightmare move I didn't think about until this morning.
All right.
How would you feel about the Dallas Cowboys making a move for Joe Milton, the backup quarterback in New England, who some people thought for a while looked better than Drake May did throughout training camp for the Patriots? This is something I would be interested in.
There's still a lot of question marks on what his ceiling is, but he has a lot of measurables that people love when it comes to quarterbacks in the prototype.
He really does.
He's big, strong, fast, can throw. He's got all those qualities. He kind of does fit too. If I was going to have a backup to Dak, that would be the kind of person that I would want to have back there. But I still have a lot of questions about what he actually is. He's got a lot of room to grow.
Jeremy Fowler said yesterday Joe Milton had been drawing some trade interest, and that the Patriots were interested in that, and that the Cowboys might be a team to look out there. But this is what I thought of this morning, and this is my nightmare. So I was watching Get Up, whatever the ESPN show is with Greenberg, and they talked about how Aaron Rodgers is in no rush.
And for what?
To pick a team.
Okay.
And then Adam Schefter, I believe it was, that was like, yeah, maybe he just waits around and somebody gets an injury and then he just signs with a team he thinks has a chance to win. I hope this doesn't happen. I really, really hope this doesn't happen. But does that not feel like the
Cowboys,
most Dallas Cowboys of all Dallas Cowboys moves? If unfortunately you ran into some injury problems at quarterback, this feels like something that Jerry would be all over, because hopefully it wouldn't be too expensive. It would get you all of the headlines, and that feels like a combination that this team loves.
Yes, that it definitely would. You can't. There would be no way that you could have him like just being Dak's backup. It would.
No.
Because I was thinking about that. I think last night I was kind of running through that, and I was like, man, would that even work? And there's no way that he would. But this approach would be perfect for him. I do wonder how much money they have to be able to spend on him. And like, could they make that happen? I don't know how much that would cost.
I don't know why. I feel like he would be willing to make that happen at a cheaper rate. Jim, what would you think about my nightmare scenario of an injury and Aaron Rodgers unfortunately becoming the starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys?
I think it makes a lot of sense, but I don't think Jerry would pay Aaron Rodgers the money to do that.
Jim's got a good approach here, because Jerry would just go, the season, I know Jerry hated what happened last year.
Sure.
Because it was so early that the rest of the season was just frustrating to all fans. But he's got a good point here because it does feel like Jerry would just say, well, we're going to get all the headlines whenever the draft comes around and we have a top four pick. So that's one of those approaches that he's always been okay with. Whenever they get that, they're okay.
Then there's this from the 817. Cowboys making a smart move at QB. I think the Rangers have better odds to go 162-0.
What was the last smart move at quarterback the Cowboys made? Drafting Troy or going forward with Tony Romo as the starter?
See, and it's tough because you want to say drafting Dak, right? But they just lucked into that because the first three people they wanted to take were not available anymore.
And so they just went with the one that was left out of all of it.
You know what? I will give them credit then when
they passed on Romo 1,000 times.
That is true.
So
I will give them credit for 2016 for sticking... For going with Dak Prescott when you had the first two injuries with Romo and with Moore and going with Dak. And then I know a lot of people to this day are still frustrated they didn't go back to Romo. I think that would have been foolish. I think sticking with Dak in 2016 from the beginning to the end, I thought that was a smart move.
Yeah, people that were against it, their emotions were in the, like, I want Romo to get his. He deserves it. And
that's true.
I totally get that part.
That's absolutely true. But look, you can look at the Cowboys' history with this, and they've lucked into a lot of things when it comes to quarterback. All right. Danielle Hunter, 1 year, $35.6 million extension tacked onto his contract with the Texans. That will make him the second highest paid defensive end in the NFL. So the Texans... making moves already.
Texans fans loved what him and Will Anderson were able to do last year opposite each other.
You get it right.
Each other. Like they were getting so much pressure. They love it.
Now let's talk about the guy who did get all of the money. And this is really interesting to me. We've talked a lot about the expansion of the NFL season to 18 games. I think it's an inevitability, and I think it's actually going to happen really soon. And you're going to get double buys, and that's what the season is going to look like. Teams might be looking to take advantage of that knowledge now. So I'm going to give some credit to Mike Florio and Pro Football Talk. I know I'm not always his biggest fan, but he got a provision in Myles Garrett's contract that said if there is a change in the number of regular season games, the per game bonus will change by dividing the maximum total bonus amount by the number of regular season games in a specific season. So it feels like they're like, hey, I'm not going to prorate you up another share, like another 17th, or I guess then it would be 18th. Instead, we're just going to keep the bonus where it is and divide by 18 instead of 17. And I have a feeling that this, over the next couple of years, will probably be a popular... like set of language to use in these contracts
for future contracts.
Yes.
How do you handle current contracts then?
I don't think that's a good question. I that's why I think you'd have to make the announcement at least a couple years out, right?
Okay.
To prepare for that. But that's a really good question. I don't know. Jim, what do you think about the inevitability of an 18 game NFL regular season?
I think will happen. I think it's going to be tough on the players, though, to play that many games.
Yeah. Yeah. That is fair. And it's weird, though, because we can't keep toeing the line for player safety and then talk about how you can start flexing teams to Thursday.
Right. Yeah.
Like those two things do not line up.
And we're not willing to add any more roster spots to this thing so that we can actually give you, you know, an opportunity to rest players or an opportunity for if you have injuries to really work that system better.
So they can kind of save me with a lot of that talk that they throw out there.
It's all about the safety for the player.
It's the same thing when the NCAA is like, our first concern is with the student athlete. And I was like, no, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
It was what number you were going to get from CBS and that network for March Madness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's, be honest. All right, Stephon Diggs visiting the Patriots and Rondale Moore reached an agreement with the Minnesota Vikings. I want to, however, take you back to a former Houston Texans player, Laremy Tunsil. So last season, we all agree Laremy Tunsil's very good at football.
Yes, he is.
He's also very good at getting penalties. He led the league in penalties last year with 19. And I like the way he phrased this. It's really just me versus me at the end of the day. There's a lot of things I want to work on. The 19 penalties I had last season are unacceptable. That included 12 false starts, 3 illegal formations, 2 holding calls, an illegal man downfield, and an unnecessary roughness penalty. Do you guys believe that Laremy Tunsil will maybe vastly cut down on his penalties and really be a big addition for Washington?
It depends on how he's coached. He probably has, in my opinion, he has a lot of bad habits already, if that's the case.
That's fair.
A little bit of laziness kind of comes along with that. But he can cut them down. 19's a big number.
Yeah.
You know who was third behind him?
Tyler
Guyton.
Yeah.
But he was a rookie.
That's true.
He was a rookie. So
that's
true. And guess what? No other Cowboys were on that list. So,
okay.
With more than like 7. Yeah, Jake Ferguson had. Come on, dude. He's a tight end that missed a bunch of games. How do you have? He's the second leading penalty getter on the team.
Honestly, if you just watched a game, and I could have just told you anecdotally, I might have guessed him. It feels like Jake Ferguson's number was called a lot.
What are you doing, dude?
On these penalties. All right, let's talk about Zach Wilson. This is a mean-spirited setup, I'll admit. Zach Wilson is not in line to be the starter in Miami, but he's looking to move up on the depth chart from 3 to 2. He said that Miami is, quote, a great fit with what I'm looking for, the type of offense, the amount of information I'll be able to learn from these guys. Plus, it's an NFL team that would take me and exists, and so that's nice. He did not say that last part, but it's kind of like if you've ever seen the Andy Samberg impersonation of Nicolas Cage, and he goes, it has all the classic components of a Nick Cage movie. First of all, it exists. And that's what I think about with Zach Wilson. It has all the classic things that you need in a football team, and that it exists.
Who is their other quarterback? You said he's not second, he's third?
No. He's going to be second.
Yeah, okay, gotcha.
And in Denver, he was third behind Nix and Stidham. So it looks like he's going to move up to second.
He'll play this year.
Because you think Tua will probably
Gets hurt.
Yeah.
That's what happens, the style that he plays. He did a very good job of doing the work that it took to find out that to not fall the same way.
Right.
But then you saw the collision that he was willing to take because he was willing to run.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's do some NFL overreaction or reality. Maybe a tournament check-in next on The Fan.